lovely library that we're at in the town of Olive. No, not Olive. It's West Shokan, right?
Well, it is in the town of Olive. You're correct.
All right. We have our distinguished supervisor of town.
Thank you.
Sylvia Rozell.
But I woke up from a nap. We're going to
get this meeting over with so we can go home and take a nap.
I know.
So with that, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Everyone kindly stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Amanda Jo Green will kindly lead us.
There's one on the wall.
Where?
On the plaque.
There you go.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Everybody remain standing for a moment of silence. Thank you. Kindly have a seat. Fire evacuation plan. Please stand it. Then, in case of an emergency, the fire department has requested that the legislators and all others leave at least one block away from the library off the building in order not to impede the firefighters in their duties. Please close your cell phones off or lower them. Roll call.
Here. Allen. Archer. Martels.
Here.
Delfiglio.
Here.
Briggs. Donaldson. Fabiano. Gerentine.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Gregorius. Litz. Lopez. Lauren. Mayo. Maloney.
Here.
Parody. John.
Here.
Parody. Richard. Provenzano.
Here.
Roberts. Rodriguez, Ronk,
here.
Walro, and Wishnick.
Thank you. Tonight we're going to call the public hearing on proposed budget 2015, Ulster County budget, proposed 2015 through 20 capital projects. We have two people that are on our sign-up sheet. First one is Corey Newton.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening. Stand up and just face everyone.
I have a couple things to talk about tonight. First, it's going to be kind of a rehash of last year. I hate to deal with it too much, but the county executive was talking about $5.4 million in his budget message. And recently in the paper, I did a little research and analysis on this. And it to me, it doesn't add up. I did a little fact-checking also. In his statement at the highway garage, he said a loss of $5.4 million in state sales tax revenue, something that would have crippled most other governments. In a recent letter exchanged with the chairman in the Ellenville Journal, he says that his estimates of the loss in sales tax revenue have been confirmed and documented in reports from both the New York State Department of Taxation and Finance and the Office of the State Controller. So I had some time to go ahead and fact check that. I called the State Controller, I called the State Taxation and Finance. They didn't have any evidence, data, or reports to quantify those claims. What I was able to get was a copy of the vendor's report from State Taxation and Finance, and they were nice enough to break it down from December 1, 2013 to January 31, 2014. And the amount for that period was $359,454,428. So when you apply the 4% rate that didn't exist to that sum, you end up with $14,378,177. The 3% rate that did exist, you end up with $10,783,624. The difference, $3,594,000. So you're looking at $3.6 million from, you know, he's trying to say year over year. But the problem with that was, Controller has a report from February 2014 that indicated in December of 2013, county sales tax collections outside of New York City declined by 3.2% compared to the year before. So it was down due to basic economic growth before the negative 1% even took effect, is what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is those numbers are inaccurate, completely inaccurate, and there's no evidence or data to back them up. So I would challenge anybody to challenge the executive to produce those reports that he said, quantify those numbers. Those numbers cannot be quantified. Especially given the fact that economic activity was down 3.2% to begin with. So the 5.4 number is just kind of picked out of thin air. And I think that's important because the chief budgetary officer of the county, they need to have accurate numbers. And to play that off with all the political drama that went on with the, you know, Cahill crisis, all this and that, that number cannot be quantified, especially in the light of lower economic activity. I just have two kind of areas I want to hit. One is budgetary process, and the other is actual recommendations. Given those inaccurate numbers, I think he needs to be held accountable for that. I think the legislature is a body to put a check on the office. So one of the things I recommend, they need to have a fact sheet. Everything that is mandated by the state, we hear a lot about state mandates, unfunded mandates. Well, what are they? You look through the budget, you'll see an indication of whether or not the county receives state aid. Well, that's usually a low number, so the county has to kick in money to supplement that number. Is that so it runs efficiently? If so, what's the measurement of that efficiency? How is that measured? Is it the county establish that? The department heads establish that? What's the system of performance measurement to justify the rest of the money to supplement the state aid? So I think that's an idea. You know, require the county executive, the budgetary director, the finance office to put it out in a fact sheet. Everything that is mandated by the state, let's see what it is. Let's see what state aid, federal aid comes in for it, how much the county puts in for it, and how is that justified? Because you look at the O'Connor-Davies report from last year, you see all these increases and decreases. And this year, you see increases and decreases. Nothing to justify. No footnotes, no multiple appendices. This is why it's up. I mean, you can look at the controller's quarterly report, see how many take-home vehicles were crashed, how it was overbilled, underbilled. And that'll give you an idea, but that should be integrated into the process, I think. Because you look through the flip book, and it's all just line items. It doesn't indicate what goes up, what goes down, why. So that's one idea. Another idea I think I have that would be good for it to be accessible to the people is put it on an Excel spreadsheet and put it on the website. Put it in Excel. I did it last year. I flipped through the flip book. I put it on the spreadsheet. I sent it to every member of the legislature. I put it on my website. If I'm the only person in 300-something years of Ulster County to put the budget on an Excel spreadsheet and put it on a website, that's, you know, it's not my job to do that. Mm-hmm. Those guys are making good money. They're making $100,000 a year. They can put it on an Excel spreadsheet and put it on the website so people have access to it and flip through it. So those are kind of my two ideas for just the process, to put the county executive in check for running around giving these numbers that are inaccurate. I think we can check them that way. Now, as far as the O'Connor-Davies, I mean, they say right in there they're not going to talk about policy issues. They're just talking about the accounting and the financial aspects. So thanks for coming out and hearing about the policy issues. My idea would be good with the simple thing of elasticity. So the rate, they had a whole big thing over the 1%, drop it. Drop it 1.25. So you're looking at 6.75, 2.75. Drop the sales tax rate. Any purchase in Ulster County would be more attractive. You want to buy a new car, you're in Dutchess County, oh, we'll get a rate. You want to buy a $20,000, $30,000 car, you're going to see a difference. Building materials, that elasticity, because total revenue will increase if the increase in consumption will offset the lower rate. That's what we need. We need growth. We don't need this economic development model where we're going to have some bike trails that's going to bring it back, or we're going to put a casino down with the Neverly and it's going to bring it back. It's not going to happen. Because we need growth. So one way to do that is through elasticity and a sales tax rate. Another way is elasticity and a property tax level. Now, I see in this budget it drops at 1%. Let's drop it 3 to 5 points. Because if all these people are buying houses, just right down here on Samsonville Road, there's some big new development they're building. So people from the city who are buying second and third houses up in Ulster County, they're going to start talking, look, the sales tax is lower, the tax levy is lower. We can buy houses, the building materials are cheaper, we can buy fences, we can buy pools, we can do landscaping. That's all local businesses will get a shot in the arm. And they're buying from local vendors where it's cheaper, so it's more. I think you get a multiplier effect from elasticity in both the sales tax rate and the sales tax levy. And then finally, I would just say, if the Neverly project does not go through, I would consider looking into the tax breaks the Industrial Development Agency was willing to give to Neverly. I forget what percentage, like tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars over a year. If the Neverly doesn't go through, I would consider whatever that amount was you were willing to give to Neverly, if the IDA was willing to give to Neverly, take that number, apply it to all businesses that have sell pay property tax in Ulster County, distribute it equitably. So if the Netherly doesn't go through, you had all these, you know, whatever millions in tax relief they're planning to give them, give it to the people who are already here. I think it would be smart economically, it would be smart politically, too. Say, hey, look at this, Netherly didn't go, all right, so we're going to take $100 million, whatever it was, now everybody else, you get a piece of that. So thanks for listening, I appreciate coming up in the woods.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, Sylvia.
Well, I'm just here to spectate, and I'm local. Just as I say, I woke up from a nap to come here. But I just wanted to actually thank the. Has the legislator or do you have to vote on the what Mike had called about a couple of weeks ago about the election budget, that you're going to spread that over the next 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
You do have to still vote on that?
Yes.
Okay. Needed to know that because we are keeping that money in the budget until such time. Our public hearing is tomorrow night, so I did not want to take it out unless we know. Do you feel confident that perhaps you will go along with that? Is there a way you can...
I do not hear anyone grumbling that they're not going to proceed doing that. That doesn't mean that they're not going to, but
no.
I'm sure fellow legislators, we have 8 or 9 of them right here tonight, I think we're all in favor of it, correct?
Well, it is a big chunk of change. I mean, it was much easier in the old and much cheaper in the old days with the machines that were still functioning, actually. But we're forced into it, and it's a pretty big chunk for the small towns, but it's very appreciated on our end for the county to rightfully take it over.
Mm-hmm.
So. I appreciate that.
Well, you can thank the person sitting behind you.
I was going to say, he led the charge.
He was the first person I called.
Okay.
No, I knew that because I was town clerk for many years, and I understood the whole process from back after the 2000 election and how it unfolded. So anyway, I just have felt over the years that, as he talks about mandates, they haven't only come from the state. They've also come from the county. So it is nice for the county to actually...
relieve one of them.
Yes, and pay for their all of us.
We wish the state would do at least one for us, too.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
But
anyway, no, I have no complaints for what's happening at this point.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you
for hosting us here.
Well, this is
in your town.
Independent.
Well,
this
in your
not,
town,
yeah,
anyway.
Thank you.
Independent. Anyone else? If not, the motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Also second. All in favor?
Aye.
And there again, we have a public hearing tomorrow night on the proposed 2015 Ulster County budget and the capital plan scheduled for Town of Plattekill, 1915 Route 44, Modena, New York at 7 p.m. And there again, John, thank you for... your hometown here, correct?
This is a big deal for us.
Oh, are you kidding? Okay.
Bring all you folks up here at once.
Come out of the house.
Go in the middle of the day, though, like Tracy said. It's been much be a beautiful ride.
John's the bar open?
I'm here during the middle of the day, anyway.
You hear what Jim just said?
I didn't hear him.
Yes, it is.
Is the bar open?
Is the bar?
I better.
I was just there.
Anything else?
Pays the bills.
If not, thank you all for coming.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me here.
We'll see you tomorrow evening.
Thank you, sir.